I have prayed that tonight God will speak to each one of us in his own loving, particular way, and to give you an idea of why we are here in Australia is because we believe, living on the other side of the world, that you're behind the times and you have failed God. Friend, come down enough to be humble enough to realize that you are not doing what God told you to do. This is the day when people fly around the world on business in jets. They rush around for pleasure in great cruisers. They move heaven and earth for their sports, but they do very little for Jesus Christ. The mission field as such is poor, miserable, penniless, and in most cases carried on by a few old maids. Friend, it sounds awfully horrid, doesn't it? Tonight, this is the truth. And I am bringing to you the verse that God used to challenge me, and I have prayed that he will challenge you. God has not altered, although the world has. And tonight you have got to throw out some of the old ideas that a missionary or a person who works for Christ has got to be some particular kind, some sanctimonious effort produced by some committee or fellowship or missionary society. God can call who he likes, how he likes and when he likes. Put them down and use them in the way he desires. And friend, tonight may God challenge you for prayer, to give and to go. The mission field as such is closer to you than it is to any other English-speaking nation. And yet, to you, it is away in the edge of nowhere. While we have a strong, live, virile church that although in numbers is much, of course, lower than yours, we are stronger than you. And so, dear friend, you'll find that I come from China to challenge Australia for Christ. The boot is now on the other leg. And the verse I'm going to bring to you is the first few verses of the 12th chapter of Genesis. We find that this man, Abraham, who belongs to a big family, who are going on a journey. You can read all about them presently. We're only just referring to them. And as they are travelling, something happens. The head of the family, the father of Abraham, dies. We find that although the family should have moved after the burial or funeral of the old man, they didn't. Why? We don't know. We only know that they didn't. And then we find God coming into the picture and lifting up this man, Abraham, challenging him to the very depths of his soul and his heart so that he gets up and goes out to follow God. The first few verses of the 12th chapter of Genesis. Now, my Bible is Chinese. This is as it comes back to you from Chinese. And Jehovah, the God, said to Abraham, the man, get thee out from your father's house, your father's relations, and your father's country. Come, I will take you to the place of my choosing. I will make of you a great and mighty nation. I will pour my blessings upon you. I will make your name so that from one end of the earth to the other they shall know of it. I will bless those that bless you, but I will also curse those that curse you. I will open the heaven and pour blessings upon you, so that from one end of the earth to the other men shall know that I am Jehovah, the Almighty God. And Abraham did as God asked him. He got out. Friend, tonight, Abraham was sitting in a very comfortable place where there wasn't very much to do, the graveyard. And tonight, God is going to show you that you have sat rather a long time in your little homemade graveyard. And the challenge is, get thee out. Out where God intends to use you. Out where God intends to bless you. And pour through you his blessing to someone else. I went to China as a girl in my 20s. I believe God asked me to. We don't meet God going down the road, and I'm not the kind that dream dreams or have visions. I only know that although I was born in a Christian home, my mother, my father, my Sunday school teacher, all the ministers who came and went in our church, not one of them ever spoke to me for a personal Jesus Christ. And so I grew up on religion, having no idea that salvation was a personal, something for a personal heart. I left my home. I went into London to work and earn my own living. And for those first few years, pleased myself. I earned good money. I spent it on myself. I did what I liked, ate what I liked, and wore what I liked. To me, my life was my own. And then all of a sudden, one evening, I, going along one of those main thoroughfares in London, was drawn into a large church by a group of people who were outside the church door fishing. I that night found Jesus Christ as my Saviour in a church that I don't know anything about, or have never been in it since that day. I believe now that all one had to do was to attract somebody to this gospel. And so I went round, and if opportunity was given, and I talked to people about salvation, I bought tracts which I handed out to anybody who would receive them. And to me, that was all I had to do. My duty was done. Until at the end of that year, when I had known Christ as my Saviour, just over that 1 year, he challenged my heart for China, a place I knew nothing about. I suppose if I had read the Bible, if I had attended church or prayer meetings, he would have called me in one of those ways, but I didn't go. Neither did I read the Bible. I was reading one day the daily paper. I read an article on China that said that away over there were hundreds, thousands, maybe millions of people who did not know where they were going to spend eternity. No one had been to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I, although I couldn't have explained very much about salvation, knew I was saved. I knew nothing of church. I'd never heard of a mission or a missionary. And I knew very little about the Bible. But I really believed that everybody ought to know that Christ, Son of God, had died on Calvary that they might be saved. And here were a people who didn't know. And so I now formed a little plan that I would do my little piece. I would go and lay this need before someone, and I would go off and tell the Chinese about Christ. Well, I did all I could. I didn't impress anybody or get anyone pushed off. And so by the end of that second year, I was in the same place as when I had begun. And I decided I would now ask one more person. If that person refused, I would throw the whole idea to the winds, decide I was wrong, and forget it. The person I went to ask was my own brother. I caught him in the kitchen of our own home and proceeded to tell him, the same as I had told others, to appeal and plead with him as I pleaded with others during that past year. Well, he thought this was the biggest joke he'd ever heard. And he threw back his head and he just laughed and laughed and laughed. And then, finally, he made to run from the kitchen, and standing in the doorway, he suddenly turned back and flung back this: "If you really believe somebody ought to be going, why don't you go yourself?" Bang went the kitchen door and he was outside. Friends, my call to China: if you really believe somebody ought to be going, go and push someone else. But God didn't say that. Abraham, get thee out. Come to a place of my choosing, that I, pouring my blessing through you, will use you. Friend, God never works second hand. That's what the world will tell you he does, but he doesn't. God is a very loving and personal God. And he calls those he wants to use in a very loving and personal way. And tonight, if he challenges you, it will be a personal call. I have not come to call you for the mission field. I have only come to challenge your heart with the open doors that lie on my mission field. And tell you what God did for me, in the hope that you will believe he could do the same for you. I have never asked anybody from that day to this to do anything that I believe God asked me to do. And although it's got me into very tight corners and embarrassing places sometimes, I'm still going to keep my word to God. I went out to draw out my little savings, proceed to sell my clothes and everything I possessed, to buy for myself a third-class ticket on the Trans-Siberian Railway and go to China. There's no man in here. I never told anybody. The business was God's and mine. He asked, I answered. And the God Jehovah said to Abraham the man, and Abraham did as God asked him. You see, dear friend, this is just as easy as that. And we make it so complicated, and we get all confused, and we get tied up in committees, and all sorts of ideas, and people's organizings, and grand names, and we never go to where God intended we should. We continue to sit in our own little graveyards, while the heathen die without him, and the devil walks and takes what he likes in the places where you and I, as God's witnesses, should have already been or be going. I wandered through Europe, Poland, Russia, across to Japan and back into the north of China. For those of you who are afraid to go out at dark, I had never been more than a few miles from my own home, and I was just over 20. God's a great God, young friend. He'll protect you if he wants you setting off for him. I got to China. And here I joined an old lady. We didn't know each other. We'd never seen each other. Neither did we know anything about each other. We had both heard at different times, under entirely different circumstances from different people, of one particular place right in the heart of China that had no witness for Jesus Christ. And we both believed that that was where God wanted us to go. That's where we met. Jeannie Lawson was 74. I was 25. And so we did not walk the same, talk the same, think the same, want to do the same, or want to eat the same. We were opposites. How could we be the same? Agent Hughes don't want to do the same. She had already lived her life and was coming to the end. I was only at the beginning. But I know that God put us together, and for that purpose of his glory. We formed our little plan. We took a courtyard in this small city hidden in the southern Shanxi Mountains. We were going to have the first mission station in that area of China. And so for days we cleaned, we organized, we prayed, and we waited. But not one single person even looked inside our door, let alone attempted to come in. So we came down lower and lower and lower before God. What does one do? How do you start off? We didn't know. And then one day we discovered that God had put us in a very important place in that area of China. Because over those great southern Shanxi Mountains, there went on a little mountain track that ran from the border of Honan by the Yellow River up to the border of Hebei, men with animal trains. And these men, with their strings of camels, mules, or donkeys, travelling day after day, taking 1 month or more from one end of that route to the other, had got to find somewhere both of themselves and their animals to eat and sleep each night. And so in sheltered parts of the mountainsides or down in the valley where there was water, there were what looked like little villages. They were not villages, they were just groups of courtyards which were inns to cater for these men and their animals. Right in the centre of that animal route, exactly halfway from one end to the other, was the one and only city. The city of Yancheng, where God had put two women, Jeannie Lawson and Gladys Edward. Every single man, going or coming, for whatever purpose, had got to spend at least one night in that city, simply because it was a long day's journey in either direction before you came to any other habitable place. Well, says Jeannie, you see, darling, where God's put us? And so I suggest that you and I get down before him, throw a few of our ideas to the winds, and see what he suggests. And down on our knees on the mud floor, we pleaded with God to show us how to appeal to these men and women who every single one knew nothing of Jesus Christ and was going to a lost eternity. And we discovered now that here was a way. And our ideas went to the winds. And instead of having a mission station, we opened the courtyard as a mule inn. Every night, down from the mountainsides came these men. They could go into our kitchen where they bought a bowl of food, the same price as they could have bought anywhere else. We weren't there to make money. And they came out. They leaned against the wall. They sat on little stools or stones around the courtyard. And there in the middle of the yard sat Jeannie Lawson, telling a story. I don't know the story. I, one, did not understand Chinese in those days. Two, I wasn't even there. I'm out in the yard looking after the mules. And I suppose you think, well, that's a foolish thing to do. You mean to tell us, Gladys Aylward, that you went all the way from Great Britain to China to look after some mules? No, I didn't. But that's what I did when I got there. Of course, we're very particular now. The graveyard's very comfortable, isn't it? Dear friend, I wouldn't get out. Oh, no, not if you want to do some hard work for God. You see, God does not promise that we eat what we like, that we wear what we choose, or we live in the kind of place that we think is comfortable. Get thee out and put your hand in mine and come to the place of my choosing. You see, dear friend, you don't even know where you go. So perhaps that's why you don't go. Or you don't even bother to find out what the kind of place is even like. May God challenge you tonight, friend, on your little circle of going round and round when God wants to give you a vision of the great outside, filled with souls for whom he climbed Calvary's hill to die for and save. I lived with Jeannie Lawson for 1 year in a Mule Inn. And when she died at the end of that year, I faced my most terrific problem. I was, of course, only still a young and single girl, and I was in the middle of China alone. I suppose it would have been very sensible to move. One, I didn't know where to go, nor did I know anybody. But two, God didn't tell me. I couldn't understand for quite a long time why God had left me there. Wasn't he love? And yet I couldn't go more than a few steps from my own front door. I couldn't go out and do any shopping. I couldn't be seen talking to a man. There were lots of things that I was just tied up in simply because I was a young and single woman alone. And God did not leave one in embarrassing situations. He was love. And then all of a sudden I was to wake up and discover why he'd left me there. I found out that I, because I had come from the outside, was the only woman in that whole district with unbound feet. And all over the north of China, this custom of binding little girls' feet had gone on for many years. The little girl, when she was from 2 to 4 years old, her feet were bound up. By the time she was from 12 to 14, ready to be married, her feet were finished. They were the same size as my middle finger. This was never God's intention, and I believe there had been people who tried to do something about stamping this custom out, but they'd all failed. And now, down in the capital of China, there had come into power this land's first Christian leader, Chiang Kai-shek. He started to put on reforms. I don't know about the rest of China. I only know that he made a law. The binding of little girls' feet is to cease. It's against the law. And he saw that this law was carried out. This meant that every headman of a particular district had now got to find someone whom he could employ and pay and send round his particular district from the government to stamp this custom out. The mandarin of Yanchangxian had been looking for a long time for someone suitable to do this job in his particular area. He had failed to find anyone in that there was no woman with unbound feet. And he said, well, I can't send a bound foot woman to advocate big feet for women. And where do I go to find somebody suitable? Now he tried everything, give him his trust due, but he failed. Until all of a sudden, one day, a traveller going in from the city on the other side of our mountains to discuss something quite different to this with him, was faced with a very worried, concerned-looking mandarin. You've come from that city on the other side of the mountains. Do you think you could help me? I'm just desperate to find someone to whom I can give this honourable and worthy position of the official of feet. You mean, man, you haven't found anybody yet? No. And I just don't know what to do. I've tried everything. Oh, said the traveller, I think I've got an idea. And I think your troubles are at an end, because when I was coming down this very street on my way to keep my appointment with you, I saw coming out of an inn down by the city gate what I truly believe was a woman. But believe it or not, Shenzhong, it had the biggest feet that I've ever seen on any woman around here. And the Mandarin, of course, so shaken, wondered whether this possibly could be true. Before very long, he's standing in my yard to see if it's true. Discovered it was. And, of course, he said, well, then you are the person. He was positive this job was mine. I was positive it wasn't. I hadn't gone to China to get mixed up with governments and feet. No! Why, before long I was going to become, so I hoped, a proper missionary. And I was going to go round and preach the gospel. Oh no, stay out of this business as long as possible. And so I, making my excuses, tried to tell this man no. And then all of a sudden, something was to happen that was to alter me, the whole setup of the city in due time, and the lives of hundreds of women. I heard, as it were, a little voice, way in the distance somewhere. It sounded exactly like my brother. I don't believe I heard this in my ears, simply because my brother was still away in the middle of England, and I was in the middle of China. But I know I heard it in my heart. The very words that my brother only a few years before had flung at me across our kitchen. If you really believe somebody ought to be going, why don't you go yourself? Did I really believe that this custom of foot binding should be done away with? Well, of course I did. Didn't I believe that my Jesus was love? And he had made little boys' feet and little girls' feet the same, that they might walk freely. Well, of course I did. Then why didn't I do something about it myself? And so the no that had already been formed in my mouth was immediately turned into yes. Shenzhong, my God has just told me to accept this position. But I only do it on one condition. That you give me in writing that I do this job as I desire. You see, I worship a living God, and I only go where he sends. I only say what he tells me to. I only do as he desires. And if you're willing to accept me under those conditions, then all right. Oh, yes, yes. I don't mind what God you worship. And I just don't mind how you do the job, as long as you do it. And if you come down first thing tomorrow morning, I'll give you the whole thing in writing. And I got it. Friend, are we afraid? Compromising! Aren't you? Are you compromising? Do you believe this book's true? Then say so. Do you believe this God's real? Then prove it to somebody. And Jehovah the God said, get thee out. Out of walking in circles. Dear friend, if you're saved, then prove it to someone else. The moment we on the other side of the world don't think you're saved, because you have no proof. And we want proof. We want your prayers, we want your sympathy. We want your understanding, but you're so busy in your little graveyard. Keep on, dear friend. It's nice dusting gravestones, isn't it? Oh, yes. It's so nice because there's no worry in it, you see. Oh, friend, may you see yourself tonight as God sees you and as some of us. And be willing to accept this challenge, not from me, but the great almighty Jehovah of hosts, the only true and living God who says, get thee out. Because I'm longing to bless you. Of course you're not getting any blessing. How can you? Graveyards don't get blessed. They're all dead anyway. What's going to bless in them? They don't know it. God isn't going to bless gravestones and dead bones. He blesses souls. Dear friend, are you a soul? Then accept the challenge. And tonight put out your hand in faith and take Jesus Christ at his word. And you will find that the minute you step out, the blessing will begin to flow. Out into those hamlets on the mountainsides, in and out those little villages. This is Gladys Aylward. Oh, no. No, Gladys Aylward, she's disappeared. Where's she gone? Oh, she's just around the corner somewhere. Who's this person? Oh, that's just her. Oh, her? You mean that bossy foot one? Yes. Ooh, she just goes round and round and pokes her nose in everywhere. There's nothing escapes that woman. She comes in your village and just tells you where to get off and what to do, even how to wash your baby. You mean, oh yes, but do you know? Have you listened to the story she tells? Do you know she believes there's a God who loves everybody? Do you believe there's a God who loves everybody? Never heard of him. Well, she knows all about him. She knows his name. She knows where he is. She says he talks to her. It's worth going to listen to, don't you think? Dear friends, they came. They listened. Before long, they believed. As in the first place, the first Christians came into that area of China through listening to the gospel in a mule inn. So now the first Christian groups came into being through just her. You know that foot one? Oh, her. Friend, looking for a good name? Want to have your name in a missionary list? Get thee out! Are you expecting man to spoon feed you and lift you up and put you down somewhere? Get thee out! Dear friend, this God is a God of great wonder. And yet we sit around waiting for some man or woman or committee or something to just lift us in and out. While my people die without Christ. Isn't that it? Do you know anything about China? Do you know when China went red? Do you know the date? Oh, no, you don't. Of course you don't. You aren't even concerned. Oh, you were busy in your graveyard. Friend, are you still going to be busy after tonight? I pray that God will pour his blessing upon you. And we will receive some of that blessing. The promise to Abraham was that the blessing should flow unto him and through him, so that from one end of the earth to the other men would know that this great God of Abraham was the Almighty Jehovah of hosts, Father of Jesus Christ. I, in my own way, was terribly happy. Who wouldn't be? Wasn't I doing what I believed God had sent me to do? Well, I wasn't a missionary. And I wasn't eating what I liked and doing exactly as I pleased. But men and women were finding Christ. And to me, this was a wonderful and great joy. And then, all of a sudden, there came into my life what comes into every one of our lives. That's something which I find now on coming out to meet groups such as you, so many of us failing. The challenge for ourselves for our hearts, for our souls, for this that is us, the person that is me. Friend, we get caught in these graveyards, don't we? And we get entangled in what man has said we ought to be doing. We walk in a certain way because that's the proper thing to do. Or we wear a certain kind of clothes because that's the fashion. And we do things. Well, of course, we all have to. Do you? Is that what God said? And Jehovah God said, get thee out and follow me. Dear friend, we are not flocks of sheep. We are men and women whom God has given brains. We very seldom use them. We just go by someone else and follow the crowd. And this is where I believe we fail God. Gladys Aylward went into China as a girl, just over 20. She awoke one day, she was a woman over 30. And she wanted what every other woman wants, a home, security, a husband, babies. My heart longed to love, and I myself longed to be loved. We do. God created us for such purpose. And dear friend, it is not wrong to love. Neither is it wrong to want to love, but it's wrong when we choose our own way of doing it. The world has set us a certain rule and we're all running up it and getting nowhere. I believe that the solution to my heart's questionings, the problems that I was facing in the work, in that I, as a single woman, found it almost impossible to talk to groups of men, in that I was alone, to the emotions that were sweeping over me as a woman, would be solved if God gave to me a husband. And I did the only thing I knew. I put the matter before God. Dear Lord Jesus, as you saved me, called me, challenged me, equipped me, drew me out, put me down in the middle of China, poured your blessing upon me, opened my ears that I might hear, opened my mouth that I might talk, gave me a job that I might be free. You know how lonely I am. Somewhere over this great wide earth there is just that young man who won't know anything about Gladys Aylward. But will you challenge him? Will you equip him and call him and do for him what you did for me? And one day I will find him climbing these mountains and here we will meet. We'll join up together and we will climb mountains for you. We will have the first Christian home in this whole area for you. And it'll be just wonderful. Oh, your glory will sweep from one end of this great district to the other. And we'll be so happy. And then one day, these people will see the first white babies in this whole area. And Gladys Aylward dreamed her dream and prayed her prayer. But no one came. Do you know why no one came? Would you happen to know? Dear friend, I challenge you, do you believe God answers prayer? Those of you who are Christians will say yes. I will say yes. Then the challenge is even greater. It means that God challenged someone, but the someone didn't accept. Isn't that true? Tonight, dear friend, this is not a call to that part of China, which it is even for me who belong there, impossible to go. But I dare in the name of Christ and this great almighty Jehovah of hosts, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Father of Jesus Christ, dare to challenge every man. Right here. Are you where God told you to be? Are you doing what God told you to do? You needn't answer me. It's not my concern. Get thee out. And I will give you a vision. of what I saw on Calvary and what I now see from my lofty heaven. Armies of men marching with hearts filled with hate. Men in their hundreds, women in their thousands, bowing down to heathen idols. Thousands behind iron curtains, lonely and oppressed. While you go free, dusting your little gravestones. Oh men, may God challenge you. Dare I remind you that there are no bows, no footballs, no comics, Wallaces or televisions, or stupid novels in heaven. So would you like starting getting used to the thing down here, if you're going there? Neither are there any of these things on the mission field. Perhaps that's why you didn't come. No one came. And so Gladys said, oh, we didn't give in. No, we don't. We just altered. I altered my prayer. Lord Jesus, I needn't really have a husband. It's not all that. I'm not all that particular, but you wouldn't leave me alone. After all, you sent the disciples out two by two, you know. And you are loud. And I do desperately need someone. Look at this great district and there's only me. What about those fine girls? What about those nurses? Those teachers? Oh, they're so wonderful. They're so equipped. They're so efficient. Why, they're way, way ahead of me. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have one of them? And so I again prayed the prayer and dreamed the dream that one day over the mountainside there would come that fine fellow worker. Oh, she wouldn't mind what she ate. She wouldn't mind how many mountains she climbed. No, we would sing choruses together, go in and out those villages together for Jesus Christ. But she didn't come. No one came. And so tonight, in the same way as I have dared to challenge you who are men, I challenge us who are women. Are we doing what God told us to do? Did you choose for yourself? Don't grumble if it didn't work out as you thought it was going to. You should have asked God, shouldn't you? Are you going to spend the rest of your life dusting chairs or gravestones or living for Christ? Friend, may God give you a vision of yourself going round and round and round. And although I truly believe that God does not want us to leave our responsibility, that to you who have got to cook dinners and sweep floors, you will still have to do it. But would you do it for God? Would you do it with a vision of the outside, that through it someone else is blessed or saved? Dear friend, God did not give you and I life and health and peace and joy and salvation to enjoy it all to ourselves. Oh no. Remember, he died on Calvary for all those other people too. Are you doing anything about it? Do you know what they're doing in Indonesia tonight? Do you know what they're doing in Russia tonight? Do you? Then you should. If you belong to God, they're part of this family. And if you don't know, there's something wrong with you, but there is nothing wrong with God. Nobody came. And so Gladys Aylward just went lower and lower in despondency and disappointment. Oh, God, he wasn't a God of love. Oh, no. No, he was just the God who just caught hold of you, and in a spirit of enthusiasm you followed him, and out you went, and then he struck you in the middle of China and just proceeded to forget all about you. Didn't even give you a companion. No, that was that. So, well. Well, all right then. That's it. And dear friend, that's how we get. It is lonely, you know. It is frustrating. It is disappointing. Have you been disappointed? Have you been frustrated? Well, then, would you like to think how much more frustrating it has been for some of us? Outside of anything we know? People, too. Are you doing anything about it? Do you know what they're doing in Indonesia tonight? Do you know what they're doing in Russia tonight? Do you? Then you should. If you belong to God, they're part of this family. And if you don't know, there's something wrong with you, but there is nothing wrong with God. Nobody came. And so Gladys Aylward just went lower and lower in despondency and disappointment. Oh God, he wasn't the God of love. Oh no. No, he was just the God who just caught hold of you, and in a spirit of enthusiasm you followed him, and out you went, and then he struck you in the middle of China and just proceeded to forget all about you. Didn't even give you a companion. No, that was that. So, well. Well, all right then. That's it. And dear friend, that's how we get. It is lonely, you know. It is frustrating. It is disappointing. Have you been disappointed? Have you been frustrated? Well, then, would you like to think how much more frustrating it has been for some of us? Outside of anything we know, hardly understanding what anybody says, being unable in many ways to convey our meaning through a foreign language to people whom we really love. Friend, if you've grumbled, may God forgive your grumbles and teach you how to pray. Do you possess a missionary? You sent a missionary from your church? Prayed for her today? No, you sent her a Christmas card at Christmas, didn't you? Is that all? Is that all? And Jehovah the God said, get thee out. Oh, that tonight God, this great loving God, will speak to us and touch us. We have failed him, haven't we? And we failed those who we promised to stand by, because we didn't stand by them. I one day walked up the main street of our little city. I wasn't thinking of anybody but myself, my own rights. And then all of a sudden, sitting on the side of the road, I noticed an ordinary mountain woman. Leaning against her knee was a very dirty, sick-looking little child. I forgot what I was going to ask the woman. My mind focused on the child, talked to her, and learned she was there to sell the child. I bought it. I paid for it all the money I then had in my pocket. 9 pennies. They're very cheap on our side of the world, dear friend, these wonderful souls whom Christ died. 9 pence. I never dreamed I was buying my first fellow worker, my first daughter, who was going to bring into my life the most amazing joy. Who was going to fill my heart with something that I have never, never ceased to praise God for. I didn't buy her because I loved children. At that time, I did not love children. I did not buy her that day because I loved China, because that day I did not love China. I bought her because Christ asked me to. From the moment that I learned from the woman she was there to sell the child, to the actual moment when I took my money from my pocket to bargain and buy the child, which could have only taken from 4 at the most 5 minutes. I, Gladys Aylward, had been to Calvary. I didn't see a vision. I'm not that kind. I didn't dream a dream. I'm standing on a busy city street, the heart of China. I saw nothing with my eyes, but in my soul I know. Friend, have you ever been to Calvary? You needn't spend money and rush to the Holy Land. Sitting in this building tonight, with the eyes of your soul, you can see Calvary. Do you know anything about how they knocked the nails in his feet and his hands? Have you ever felt how they pressed that crown of thorns on his brow? Friend, have you been to Calvary? And Jehovah God said, get thee out. Friend, we don't see Calvary in the graveyard. We only see dead bodies and tombstones. And our own ideas, problems, confusion. The graveyard is the place of the dead. Calvary is the gate to the living. Friend, would you look outside and see Calvary, where Christ, Son of God, died for you? And then you will do what he asks to. Into my heart, and the man who died on Calvary was saying, do you really love me? Well, of course I do. What do you think I'm doing here if I don't love you? Haven't I given up my home, my country, my career, everything I love for you? Of course I love you. I want proof. And the proof I am asking is that. Oh, but she wants money. All right, pay for it. You mean buy that with my own money? Proof that you love me. That's why I bought her. Friend, tonight, are we going to be obedient to God, or are we going to have common sense? Common sense, Gladys says, Gladys, you've only got that 9 pence, I wouldn't spend it. And what are you going to feed her on? Faith says, do you love me? Then buy that. Friend, tonight, common sense is in the graveyard. Faith is outside. And tonight, the challenge is you are on one side or the other. There is no middle line. You can't hover on the border. You are either in the graveyard or out of it. You either are for that side or against it. Dear friend, you're either going to heaven or to hell. There is no other place. And the challenge is, which side are you on? I took home my first daughter. From that one little girl, there came into my life, into my heart, into my courtyard, the children who had become my family. I didn't buy them all. They were given to me. They were left on my doorstep. I stood hours on end in the court. Over on that side is a poor, shivering little thing that is going to be the slave of some man or woman unless I win. And I'm going to win. In the name of Christ, I'm going to win. And I do. Because my Christ is faithful. This is a soul for whom he died. I have crawled up those high mountains in the south of Shanxi. Because I have heard a rumour that up in a little hamlet or village somewhere are child dealers and they have stolen 2 children. And I have stolen them back. They are souls, remember. And my Lord died for them. The family. By the time the war came into China, into our part of China, should I say, I had got 40 children. Wonderful family. 40 of them. And so I decided very properly that 40 was enough. I said to God, "Now, Lord, I believe that 40 are enough for one woman, and seeing that this courtyard only comfortably holds 40, and I only have enough room and patience for 40, would you please answer this prayer? Don't send any more." Well, now, God, I truly believe and I know, answers prayer. But as you who trust him know, he doesn't always answer in the way you expect. In this case, he leaned out of heaven and he said, "Gladys Aylward, mind your own business. I sent in this family, it belongs to me. I sent you here, you belong to me. You live in a place that belongs to me. And if I say there are going to be more than 40 in this yard, there are going to be more. All I'm going to say is get prepared." And so there came 40 more. By the time the enemy came down to take that area, I had got over 80. During the war, he kept us, fed us, protected us. I have lain only a few feet away from an advancing Japanese enemy. And just behind here are two or three little babies. And if one of those babies makes the slightest noise, everything's lost. But they don't make a noise. God is a great God of love. And he loves me and my family. And then, as the enemy advanced, we, the family and I, climbed those great high mountains. We came down to the Rielo River, where we truly believe God worked a miracle for us and got us a boat. We came across to the other side, where we came through that province of Hornan into Shenzhen to begin a new life, learn a new language, reorganize ourselves. We now had no home. We didn't belong to anywhere or anyone. We were just another group of refugees. But oh, how God blessed us, kept us together, and gave us joy in our hearts. And each new year, as the children grew up and went out into their various spheres of service, we could meet those of who could leave those different places. Away in somebody's field, one by one the boys would get leave from the army, the girls would get leave from their nursing or wherever they were, and we, the family, had just a wonderful time. We didn't eat very much, there were so many of us, but we did praise God. All the blessings that he poured upon us during that year. And then as we came to the time of parting was, this is the time maybe when we shall go home. This may be the year when the enemy will retreat. And now we'll go home. I'll go back first. Because you see, at the end, it lost its roof, it got blown off with a shell. And so I'll just go back and get going on making a new roof. And of course, the city will be different, but it'll be home. And we dreamed again, a wonderful dream. Because we've never gone home. As one enemy retreated, so a 10 times worse and more wicked enemy advanced. And we found, bit by bit, this enemy was to strip us of everything. Our lands, our houses, our loved ones, our freedom. And if we had not already given our souls to God, our souls. Communism was born in hell. I don't care who you are. That's what I believe. Praise God, one day it's going back to hell. You going with it? Be careful, friend. I am the way, says Christ, the truth. And outside him there is no truth. Communism is a lie. Only Christ is truth. And before very long there came an iron curtain. And this family, as with most other families, is separated. And we find ourselves, like others, on two sides. What did God call us together for? To be his testimonies, to be his witnesses. I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. But I, says God, will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessings on you so that men shall know that I am God. That from one end of the earth to the other this blessing shall flow. Dear friend, I don't know what you and your family are doing. I only can tell you what me and my family are doing. Because families might be separated physically, but when they're united in heart and spirit, they're still one. And this family might, some of them, be up already singing around that great white throne. Some others might be behind an iron curtain, while the rest of us are out, scattered around in different parts of this earth. But we're still united as a family for one purpose, that God might have glory, that some soul might find his salvation. To those behind that iron curtain, I only know that in that filthy prison there is a testimony for Christ. Away up in those slave gangs on the border of Tibet, there is a witness for Christ. Away down in that big city in the south of China, I know there is a witness for Christ. Because I know that there is my son or my daughter. And away in Hong Kong, greeting refugees. Away in Formosa, nursing other people's unwanted babies, are the very children who one day were picked up on the sides of mountains themselves, who one day, grown up, came out of Red China to be a refugee. A dear friend, tonight, as challenge after challenge has gone out from my heart through God's Holy Spirit to you, the responsibility now is yours. Are you still going to remain in that graveyard? Or are you going to have courage enough and be humble enough to say, Lord, speak to me? He will call you by your name in the same way as he called Abraham. But he will use the same words, get thee out. Out from the ideas that you've got yourself tied down in. Out of the confusion that the world has got you mixed up in. Out of the convention that man says you must walk in. Out. Out into freedom. The freedom of Jesus Christ, where you, like Abraham, put your hand in God's and go where he can use you. And although you may not move from your own home, it will be round and round that home, because it will be the place he chose for you. And through you he will pour his glory. But it will also be for the salvation of someone else's soul beside your own. That's what he promised. I will bless you, keep you, provide for you, lead you, guide you, undertake for you for one purpose. That through you I might pour my blessing. That from one end of the earth to the other men shall know of me. Friend, can you see why you're poor and miserable and no revival and no blessing. Because we have walked round and round and not heeded and not listened and not done as he asked. Tonight, I wonder to how many of you God is going to lay upon a burden for prayer. But there in that graveyard, he's going to stir your heart. He's going to take you to the edge of that graveyard and give you such a vision of Calvary that you'll break your heart. And through that breaking heart, he will pour love. Love that will pour out in prayer so that men and women might find him. We've criticized, we've pulled to pieces men and women we've never seen. We've talked about them. We've settled their differences in our own way for them, but we have not prayed for them. Men and women, tonight we have never given Russia a real Bible. We have never given them the Word of God. Do you blame them for hating us? Do you blame them for wanting to kill us? They don't know love. They've never known peace. They've never known Christ. No young man in Russia's ever heard the gospel. Don't blame anybody but yourself, friend, if he becomes your enemy. Pray for him. Tonight, friends, would you pray? Would you pray for the young people in Russia? Don't you believe that God loves them? But they don't even know it. There they march. Get into the moon, making satellites. On they go, filled with strength, energy, purpose. What for? The devil. Because you and I have forgotten how to pray for them. The souls for whom Christ died on Calvary. Women, you've criticized. Oh yes, you've passed remarks, I know. Upon those women who've never been clean. The women of Poland, the women in those southern countries of Europe, the women we let down in Hungary. You won't criticize them anymore. After today, friend, you'll pray. You'll pray as you've never prayed before for women who've broken their hearts, who've never known freedom, who've never known purity. Chattels of men! Get thee out. Friend, God won't ask you for that wonderful cake. The souls for whom my son died. Dear friend, he won't ask for all the things we're now so busy and concerned and mixed up. He's concerned with men and women and Calvary. Have you ever realized? Have you ever stopped to think that no child over 9 in Red China has ever heard of Jesus Christ? Communism has been in China for 10 years. So every child under 10 has never heard the gospel. Mother, break your heart over the children of China who are never going to know unless you and I learn how to pray. Tonight, friend, God in his great and wonderful love, God in his almighty mercy, longs to speak to you and me. Come. Get thee out. And dear friend, it won't work as you expect. You'll be so amazed and stirred. You'll find that most of your life has been for yourself or for your immediate family. And the family of God have been starved for love and starved for the Word of God and starved for fellowship. Get thee out. And dear friend, the moment we are obedient, I believe he opens the windows of heaven for us. He pours out blessings. Australia, you're free. Do you know for how long? I don't know. Does Australia belong to you? Then be on the alert. Friend, the devil is strong. Is your God stronger than him? Then say so and stand by him. Prove to the world that you believe is real. Prove to us you believe the Bible's true. Get going for God. Otherwise you're lost. We're going to bow our head in a word of prayer. And I pray that to each one of you, you will leave alone the challenge that was not for you. And you will accept the challenge that is for you. And for those of us who are old and cannot run around and cannot do lots of things because we are old, God is going to ask you to pray. He's going to get you on your knees. Or if you can't kneel, he's going to get you flat on your back. And you're going to learn how to pray for the men and women who can't pray for themselves. He's going to teach some of us who've been so concerned with our own homes that we've never thought much about other people's. And we're going to get going and do something. We might have to give something we've never thought of giving. Some of us might have to get up and go somewhere. But it will be anyway for the blessing of our own heart and someone else and the salvation of a soul. Shall we pray? Great Almighty, the only living true God, Jehovah, we worship thee, not just because thou art the Creator, but because thou art our Father. Because tonight in and through the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we dare to stand before thee, claiming our right, the right to thine ear, to thine heart, In that day when we stood at Calvary, you made us your sons and your daughters. Oh, Father, tonight speak to us. Touch us in love, break our hearts, turn us inside out, give us visions. Tell us what to do, do something with us, Lord, that we might be willing to leave our graveyards, the graveyards of our dead hopes, of our silly ideas, of our petty jealousies, of our stupid criticisms, of our differences, of our little quarrels. Oh God, show us ourselves. May we see our hearts as this graveyard with its bones and its emptiness, its lack of love. And oh Lord, give us courage, strength and wisdom to know how to get up and go out. And as we step out, give us a vision, we plead with thee, of Calvary, that through Calvary we may see the thousands, the millions who die without thee. Oh God, tonight give us a vision of Africa. Those men and those women who die in heathenism, who know nothing of your love, who frustrated and bewildered, long after something that they don't even know anything about, because no one's been to tell them of Calvary. Oh God, in thy mercy we plead with thee, break us for Africa. Give us visions, we plead with thee, of India, with its teeming millions, hungry physically, but hungry spiritually. Oh God, in thy mercy, we plead with thee, give us this land for thy glory. Teach us how to pray, and if you're wanting us to do something or go, then challenge us. We pray thee for every Christian behind an iron curtain. God, you know. Oh God, we plead with thee, teach us how to pray. Pray for those men and women behind those iron curtains in those stinking prisons. You and only you know. Oh, not that they may be free. We don't ask for freedom for them. We just ask for strength, for courage to remain true. True to thy purpose, true to thy truth. Give us grace and understanding to know how to stand by them and to hold them up. That through the power of thy Holy Spirit, thy word, thy truth might sweep through that land and men might find thee. We pray thee for every single person tonight who knows not thee. O God, challenge our hearts for the thousands, yea, the millions, who've never heard and never will, unless tonight we answer your call. Hear our prayer, dear Lord. Take us back to Calvary and do something with us, that our feet will walk where you tell them to, that our hands will go and do what you ask, that we will talk about those things concerning thee, that we will pray and give and go. We ask this humbly for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friend, I believe that God has been speaking to you. And all from my heart I ask is, let him have his way. After tonight, if you refuse that challenge, it is back on you. I have only done what God asked me to do. I have bared my heart to you, because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and he took me one day to Calvary. And I know that that is what he is wanting to do with every one of us, that through us he might pour out to the thousands, yea, the millions, who know him not. And so tonight, may you be willing for him to speak to you, and may he give you courage to answer.
Closing hymn is hymn number 8, On the Sheep. Now I would ask that nobody leaves until after the benediction. Please just bear a few moments longer. Don't leave your seats until after the benediction. Now, we have all received a tremendous challenge tonight through the mouth of this honoured servant of God. A challenge that none of us can lightly leave go. Before any of us can answer the missionary challenge to go into another land, or even to be a witness for Jesus Christ at home, we must first answer his challenge to follow him, to follow Christ. And I believe that in our meeting tonight there are those who do not know Christ as their own personal Saviour and Lord. Now, you can't fulfil God's plan for your life as a missionary or as a witness until first you become a child of God. You can't tell others about something that you don't know yourself out of your own personal experience. And before we sing this hymn, I want you all to stand and, without any music at all, to read through the first verse of this, not audibly, but read through it yourself quietly. Just as I am, without one plea. For that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, Now listen. When you stand and read through this, if you're not going to come, please don't lie to God. The words of the hymn are, O Lamb of God, I come. If you've never come and you want to come, the moment we start singing this hymn, would you make your way down to the front? It's not far. Calvary was much further. If you don't want to come, don't sing it. But God's depending upon you and me tonight to take this gospel to the uttermost part of the world. And to do that, we must all come. If you've never come to Christ, make this your first step in fulfilling God's purpose and come to the front as a sign that, as far as you're concerned, you're going to settle a deal with Christ tonight. You're going to be His. And then His to be sent wherever He wants you, wherever He wants you to go. Would you stand and quietly read through this first verse? Read through quietly, look at this. Four lines. We'll sing quietly this first verse only. Coming to the front won't save you, but it is a sign that you're ready to dare for Christ, that you're not ashamed of it. Quietly sing the second verse. Generation, of him also will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his angels. Now, my friend, is it going to be said to you tonight that you're afraid or rather ashamed to acknowledge your desire to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord? He's inviting you to come. This is the last time I'm going to make the call. It may be the last time you'll ever hear the call. And if you haven't come tonight, where will you spend eternity? How will you meet your God empty-handed? How will you meet your God with the penalty of this sin lying heavily on your heart, with the knowledge that there was a chance and you rejected Christ? How can you stand before God if you don't come tonight, if you've never come before? As we sing this hymn, this last verse, it may be the last time, I don't know. We sing, "My times are in thy hand, my God, I wish them so, I want them so." But we might, tomorrow might never be as far as we're concerned. And if we go out rejecting Christ, it means we go out into the darkness. "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, I never knew you." Or is it going to be, "Come, ye blessed of my Father"? Your decision tonight can change it, can make it, "Come, ye blessed of my Father," by coming into Christ. Come, don't wait. Forget all about your friend next door to you. God's speaking to you. Young man, you might have a young girl alongside you. You might be wondering what she's going to think about. Her opinion won't count in eternity. Husband, you may be wondering what your wife's going to think. That won't count in eternity either. Wife, you might be wondering what your husband's going to think. That won't have any bearing on the final summary. The only thing that counts is what you do with Jesus Christ. Listen, "Just as I am, as I love unknown, hath broken everybody down." Is that going to be true? "Now to be thine, yea, thine alone, O Lamb of God, I come." Will you come? Quietly shall we sing it. Come, don't wait. bless you, young man. There's another one.